That was a joke. Good morning. It's good to be here. Man, honestly, it's so good. Was worship awesome this morning or what? Just so good to be in his presence. It's just so, so amazing. Don't take it for granted. I travel across the country and it's so good to be home to worship with you. And I'm honored to be a part of preaching in this series, the E100 series, the Essential 100, the bigger narrative of Scripture. And for the next 3 weeks, we're in the travels of Paul. Say travels of Paul. And if you've been reading along, and I hope you have, here's all they wanted me to do today. So Joel, thanks for this assignment. He said, just do the travels of Paul. The road to Damascus, Acts 9, and then the first missionary, Acts 13, and then the Council of Jerusalem, Acts 15, and then more missionary journeys, Acts 16 through 20, and then finally, the trip to Rome in Acts 25. So today, this morning, if you want to keep up, we're going to be going from Acts 9 to 25. And Bob, do it in 30 minutes. Thanks a lot, dude. All right. So here's what we're going to do. The next 3 weeks, the travels of Paul. Today we're going to do this. Today we're going to talk that Paul went out. He went out. Then next week they're going to do Paul poured into the churches. And then the next week they're going to do Paul passed it on to the next generation. All right? So let's dive right in. Let's look at the intro of Paul. Paul was an apostle. Paul was a traveling evangelist. Paul was a missionary. Paul was a church planter. And Paul was an elder. And you thought you multitasked? I mean, could you? This guy is busy. But let's get to know him a little bit, okay? So what we did is we made a timeline. If you want, I want you to have it. So if you go into your bulletin and pull it out, let's look. Let's go through the timeline of Paul, all right? You got it? Wave it to me so I can see it. Oh, it looks good. It's like Green Bay. Let's go like this. Come on, here we go. All right, never mind, I'm sorry. So, AD 5, Paul of Tarsus is born. So, that's Paul. Paul with his Roman name, Saul is his Jewish name, okay? And that's, so he's 5 years younger in body than Jesus. Then it says AD 11 through 30, he was in school, the Jewish customs and traditions. You thought that your college student was taking a long time on a 5-6 year plan? This guy went till he was 30. How about a round of applause for all our graduates from high school and college this week, all right? Come on. Okay, AD 32, Paul oversees a proceeding where Stephen was martyred in Jerusalem. We don't have enough time to go through this. I put 40 hours of studying myself, plus I had my team and my staff studying. This is awesome. If you learn this way, this is great. But can I make it a little simpler? Can I show you how I learn? Okay, let's learn about Paul. Let's watch this.
God's story, Paul. So part of God's story is about a man named Paul, and it begins like this. Paul was born in a city called Tarsus. Back then, being born in Tarsus was about as cool as being born in an amusement park. So Paul thought he was cooler than other people, especially the ones who were following Jesus. Paul turned into a real bully. He found ways to get people who were following Jesus thrown in jail, beat up, and even killed. One day, Jesus yelled from the sky, "Paul, Paul, why are you acting this way?" Then Jesus shined a really bright light, brighter than the sun, right into Paul's eyes. Paul couldn't see anything for 3 days. Kids, never look straight at the sun. Remember what happened to Paul. After Paul could see again, he decided to listen to God. And not just listen. Paul decided to spend his whole life telling people about God and God's son Jesus. Paul knew if he was going to tell people about God, he better get to know God. Paul found different ways to get to know God. Sometimes he fasted, which is when you skip a meal or many meals, and spend time praying to God instead. Other times, he snuck off alone so he could sit and listen to God. Paul said getting to know God was like training to run a big race. Sometimes training for a race takes work, especially if you want to win, just like it can sometimes take hard work to fast or sit quietly and listen to God. But for Paul, knowing God was way better than winning first place, even if the prize is $1 billion. Once Paul knew God, he was so excited that he wanted to tell everyone, even people he didn't know. Paul became a missionary. A missionary is a person who goes to new places and tells people about Jesus. And even while he was doing this, Paul was writing lots and lots of letters telling other people about Jesus. Now sometimes, Paul found out that not everybody wanted to hear about God, but he told them about God anyway, just to make sure everybody had a chance to hear. Have you ever tried talking to somebody when they weren't listening to you? The people started getting really mad at Paul when he talked. They threw rocks at him, beat him up, put him in jail, and even tried to get rid of him completely. Guess what Paul did? He said he'd be happy to go to jail, get beat up, and even die if it means more people know about Jesus. Well, God was with Paul when he was getting beat up and put in jail. One night, God even sent an earthquake to open the doors of the jail so Paul could be free. But instead of escaping, Paul stayed to tell the prison guard about Jesus. Later on, Paul was sent to a bigger city with a bigger jail. To get there, he had to take a boat. During hurricane season, one of the storms hit Paul's boat and it got shipwrecked.
Sorry.
So he had to swim all the way to a nearby island. Picture swimming in the North Pole with penguins. That's how cold Paul was. But as soon as he saw there were people living on the island, what do you think he did? Yep, he taught them about Jesus. Paul never stopped telling people about Jesus and how Jesus loves everyone and wants to help them stop doing wrong things and teach them how to know him. He got put in jail at least 4 times, was shipwrecked 3 times, and was even bitten by a poisonous snake. But Paul didn't care what happened. He was so happy knowing God that he just wanted everybody else to know God too. And that's the story of Paul.
There you have it. I guess we're all done. That's the story of Paul. Let's pray. No, honestly, let's go to the Word of God. Let's take a little closer look. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. It says this. Paul's writing, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So that's what he did. He finished the race. That was Paul's life. So now the question is, so what about us? Here's what I want for us today. Here's what I want for you today. Who wants to run the race to win? Let's run to win. This thing called faith, this thing's called being a follower of Jesus, we're in the race. But what does it mean to win? As a Christian, as a believer, as a member or somebody who attends Christ Rock Community Church, can I tell you what it means to win? It's our mission. We talked about last time. When we seek, love, and disciple. Say it with me.
Seek, love, disciple.
A little louder. If you are seeking, loving, and discipling, then you're winning in faith. You're seeking the lost, loving the hurting, and discipling believers to do the same. That's our mission here. That's when you know you won. That's what Paul did his whole life. So now let's learn from Paul. How do we win? How do we follow 3 lessons from Paul's life and maybe some lessons even from people in our own body? How do we win? You want to learn how to win in this thing called faith? You gotta stay with me. You wanna win?
Yeah.
Okay, here, let's do it. Let's get ready. You know what? Some of us, we've never been in the race. We're just sitting on the sidelines. Some of us need to get in the race. Some of us have been beat up and we need to get back in the race. If we don't, then life will just be a rat race. Let's get in the race. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, on your mark, get set. That's the 3 lessons. That's all you have to remember. Ready? Say it with me. On your mark. One more time. Okay, let's look on your mark. Let's look at this. A lesson from Saul's life. He was born to a well-to-do family. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was named after the first king of Israel, Saul. His Jewish name, Saul, means great one or asked for. He was educated under Gamaliel. And he could probably pronounce it right. And he was well-versed in the law. He was a Pharisee, which now it might be a negative thing. That it was a positive thing. And he was a Roman citizen. Let me break that down for you. He was from a well-to-do family. He had a good name. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He had that where he was from. He was named after the first king of Israel. He had heritage. Then his name meant great ones. There was high expectations on his life. He was educated from the best. He went to Harvard. He was well-versed in the law. He was good with speech. He didn't say, ya der hey. Stop it. And he was a Roman citizen. You know what that means? He was the elite. He was in. This defined him. The question today, what defines you? What defines me? How are we making our mark? He was out to make his mark. Now we want to introduce Stephen here. Stephen was different. His resume looked different. Stephen's qualifications, Stephen's accomplishments were different. Listen to this, Acts chapter 6, verse 5. Stephen, full of faith in the Holy Spirit, verse 8, full of grace, power, and signs and wonders. One was man-made, one was God-made, right? Real quick Bible narrative, right? That's what the E100's doing. Can we go all the way back to the beginning? In the beginning, what? God created men and women to have a relationship with himself. It's supposed to be love. But we sinned. That brought a separation that caused a curse. All the Old Testament, God gave us the law to try to get us back to God. We finally figured out we couldn't do it on our own. We needed a Messiah. So Jesus was born in a manger to Mary. He lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and now these people who thought that he was the one are hiding up in the upper room. That's what Joe talked about last week, right? They're up in the over room and they're all scared. They're hiding. We're supposed to be the light of the world. Can I tell you what I see across country? Sometimes the church, instead of being the light of the world, sometimes I see the church and the structured church is the actual thing that's hiding the light, the bushel basket that's hiding. But they're up in their same thing. They're hiding up in the upper room. But also what happens? Jesus appears. He's alive. He pours out the Holy Spirit. And then what happens next? Peter, who just denied Christ 3 times, now takes a stand. There's a bunch of people in town for a big festival, and how many people come to Christ? 3,000 the first time, 3. And that wasn't even on the, you know, the technical part, right? So 3,000 came to Christ, but now they all go back. So guess what happens? The church starts to grow. So that's where we pick up in the narrative. The church is starting to grow. It's going everywhere. And so who's out there preaching? Stephen. He's not even the lead pastor. He's just a deacon. Go to Acts 7, 57. So he's out there preaching. But what do the Jewish people do, God's people? This is what it says. They put their hand. Do this with me. I'm sorry. I'm going to make you do this. They put their hands over their ears, and they start screaming, scream. That's what it said they did. They put their hands over. They said, we're not. Do you ever have a kid like that? I'm not going to listen because they're talking about Jesus. And they bring him outside. And what does it do? They stone him. But now look at here, because we're going to introduce Saul. The witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. Can I tell you something? He wasn't being a bad person. He wasn't trying to be evil. He was serving God. He was serving Yahweh. He was trying to protect the Torah. He was being religious. He was giving his all. He was committed to his God. And we have our first martyr, and Stephen dies. But then you go to Acts 9:1. What does he do? We got to stop this. It's going everywhere. We got to stop this Jesus movement. Hey, high priest. So he goes to see the high priest. Give me permission to go everywhere, because this is even spreading at Damascus. And they give him permission. So the word of God says he's on his way. And as he's on his way, what happens? That's when the light comes, right? The light comes all around him from the sky. And then it says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now in his mind, did he think he was hurting God? Yes or no? He thought he was helping God. I'm your warrior. And could you imagine what's going on in front of him? Wait a minute. I'm serving God, I'm doing everything. I'm willing to go all risk for this God guy. But now he speaks from the sky. Who are you? Who are you, Lord? Because I'm trying to serve you. I'm doing my best here. I'm giving it all. I'm doing what's right in my own eyes. I'm trying to be a good Jewish follower of Yahweh to protect the Torah. But obviously he was missing it, huh? Do we ever think that we're on the right track? We miss it? Because now God strikes him blind. And so now instead of feeling this pride, he's feeling special needs. He's feeling defeated and regret. I made a mistake. Everything I worked for is gone. All his self-effort, he's a self-made man. He was out to make his mark. He was climbing the corporate ladder. He was even climbing the religious ladder. And he was like, look, I want to be an example. Look at me. I'm a religious leader for God and for country. He had status. He had reputation. But it defined him. He had a seat in the synagogue. It was his identity. And some of you can say, well, I can understand it because it was before Christ, right? So he's doing his own, but that would never happen to us, would it? Because we were born in a Christian nation. I was born in a Christian family. I know that my identity is in Christ. That wouldn't happen to me, would it? My question today is, could this maybe sneak up even on the most humble among us? Even today? One of my best friends, Tim Thompson, we've been in a small group for 25 years together called the Mavericks. His wife, Tiffany, awesome friend of mine as well. She spoke for us for Life Promotion. She's preached here many times. Tim was really actually grown up on the mission field. And then his mom and dad ran a Bible school. You may know them, Gary and Kay Thompson. Gary's an elder here. And when he was a part of it, he got married at this church. And then he was a part of the premarital counseling team to help couples as they're getting married. Tim was a part of the worship team. And then his job, he worked for Services Plus as a salesman. And he showed how you can be a light in your job. You don't have to, the worst way to be in full-time ministry, I'm sorry, Joel, but it's not being in full-time ministry. The best way, Tim showed me, is to be in there, in the world, and to be a light. But then he did answer the call, and he went full-time with Compassion internationally, saving thousands of lives around the world. And he was connected with people, and he was a mentoring people. And on top of all that, him and Tiffany were good-looking. And he was really good at sports. Like, I used to play him in racquetball. He skunked me all the time, like goose egg skunk. Finally, I got 2 points playing him down at the Y. I was so pumped, I got 2 points. Until he showed me he was playing with his left hand. That's a true story. He has 4 awesome kids. But about a year ago, he moved to Joplin, Missouri. And you may be asking what I asked. Why? It's the armpit. I'm sorry. Don't record this. I mean, Joplin, Missouri, there's nothing there. There was a tornado. You know why they went there? Because her daughter, Whitney, and her husband, Morgan, had a little baby, Malachi. And they wanted to be there because they know family matters. And that's why they're in Joplin. But I was talking to him, he said, Bob, I don't know anyone here. And no one knows me. And we don't have a church home here. And my parents aren't here, and I don't have a position on any team, and I'm not a part of a small group, and they don't know anything that I've done. They don't know anything. And Bob, it's really weird for them, feeling like a nobody. Bob, do you think I actually start looking to my role and my position and even my church for my identity instead of Christ? And Tim's a humble man. He's like, Bob, I know better than this, but Bob, the feeling inside. Anybody else? We start looking to the things instead of to the Christ. And he said, Bob, I had to remember. Tim said, I had to remember that I was a child of the one true King. And if I never have a position, if I never do anything, if nobody ever recognizes me, I am loved completely. So my question for you today, on your mark, are you trying to make your own mark? Or is it his mark of the cross on us? So your merit or his merit? Your righteousness or his righteousness? Your commitment or his commitment? Your work or his work on the cross? Your effort or his grace? Your accomplishments? When he said, it is finished, your love completely. If we have this arrogance of pride that says, look at me, look what I've done, may we see like Saul, it's not enough. But does anybody else go on a pendulum? So either one day you feel like you're a really good Christian, and then you see it's not enough and you're looking to things instead of Christ, but then instead of pride, self-contempt kissed you? Anybody else? Then I feel like I'm just defeated. Hello, my name is defeated. Hello, my name is shame. Hello, my name is an addict. Hello, my name is failure, reject, defeat, shame, guilt, sin. You know what this morning? What wants to mark you? Your pride of accomplishments? Or your brokenness and dysfunction, sin? Do you feel like maybe, like Christina did, maybe God's done with me? May I say today, all of those, you look here. What marks you? Child of the one true King. Say that with me. Child. One more time with heart. Tell your feelings, you tell the emotion, you tell your world, you tell your past. That's who you are. That's who you are, church. It's time to believe it, and it's time to start acting it, all right? So, on your mark, not our effort, but his mark on us. Now, on your mark, get set. Let's get set. We, like Paul, need to be knocked off our high horses. But we, like Paul, also have to be humble enough to be led by the hand and prayed over. And they say that he probably studied there for 3 years under Ananias. Are you still growing as a disciple? You got an accountability group? You in a small group? You getting the word in you? Or do you got it all together now? James 4:6 says what? God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. See, God was trying to get your attention. God was trying to get Saul's attention. But Saul was so stubborn and so into his own works, God had to speak to him directly. So he's walking, he's going to Damascus, and Paul, can you imagine this? He gets the big guy himself to speak to him, right? I mean, so here is his conversion story. Saul, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Is that what he said? No, you know what he said? Saul, why are you persecuting me? What? Don't you understand? I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for you, God. You know, I can't imagine what he was thinking. And he said, listen, I am Jesus who you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what to do. I don't know about you, but if you put yourself in Paul, if I was Paul, you know what I would have said? Don't tell me what to do. Anybody else have that attitude? Right? Don't you know who I am? Hey, my name means great one. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. And then it says he was boasting. He goes, I was circumcised on the eighth day. Why would you boast about that? I'm sorry, okay. But look it, that's not what he did. He was blind, he couldn't see, and he had to be led by the hand, and he was blind for 3 days. You don't think that represents Jesus being in the grave? Can you earn heaven on your own? No, do we as a Christian still need to get set and get in the Word of God? Yes, we do. Look at Acts 9. So now Ananias, it says a disciple, that means if he's a disciple, he's winning at this thing called faith. How do you know if you're winning? Seek, love, disciple. Say it with me.
Seek, love, disciple.
So here's a guy who's winning, Ananias. A disciple named Ananias. God says, go and talk to Saul. He starts arguing. He says, no, God. Did you ever argue with God? No, God, don't you know this guy is killing Christians? You don't want me to talk to him. But now look at God says, all right? Acts chapter 9, verse 16. God speaks to Ananias and says, I will show him, Paul, how much he must suffer for my name's sake. God, that doesn't seem very seeker sensitive. Do you think that's the way people would preach today? Really? Like, God loves you and has a beautiful plan for your life. You know what he's going to do? He's going to give you a ticket to heaven, forgive you of all your sins, and it's free. You know what America almost does? Oh, that's not enough. Oh, okay. I'll give you peace. Peace in the midst of storm. Now, this is all true. Oh, that's good. Well, will you protect my family? And how many people, when he doesn't, that we walk away? Oh, will you bless my business? If you do, God, I'll tithe more. And I'll write a book giving you all the glory. No, you know what he does? He meets Jesus. Paul goes, I met Jesus. Really? Tell me your testimony. He struck me blind. Anybody else want to follow? And then he was led by the hand. And then he told me all the things that he was going to suffer. Go back to that sheet I gave you inside. All right? Now find mine. There it is. All right. You got yours? Look on the back side of the time list. I will show you how much you must suffer for my name's sake. He was whipped with 39 lashes. 5 times that happened to him. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned. Not like in Colorado. He was shipwrecked, adrift at sea, journeys, dangers by rivers, dangers by robbers, dangers by his own people, dangers from Gentiles, on and on and on, all the way down, cold and exposed to pressure, the care in the church, anxiety every day, until he was beheaded. Do you think if he knew all the things, he still would have followed? Would you? I was just with a young leader who's in charge of the whole Missionary Alliance denomination for youth. And he's 31. He says, is it worth it? Man, I've only been in this 3 years in this leadership role. It's so hard and I feel so beat up. Bob, does it get easier? I'm like, no. Is it worth it? Not if you're talking just material and blessings here on earth. Now, I've never been shipwrecked, but my boat got totaled last week with that storm. And I don't know if some of you saw it on Facebook, but this is what happened to me out in Washington. We got that picture of see that Sprinter in my brand new 2-month-old trailer was totaled. We went down a 25-foot drop, and I thought I was going to die. I'm like, God, really? We're going to preach your gospel on the other side of Washington. You couldn't keep us on the road? But it's not always how we think. That cost of discipleship, my own son, real quick. I don't know if you're like, God, I thought you'd protect my kid. Our own son, Tim, as a freshman, said, I don't want to be a lens because everybody has so high expectations for him. If you don't, then the church just judges you. So as a freshman, he started becoming our prodigal. He walked away. I remember some parents here at the church, their kid would come over and they're like, well, thank God he's at least with Tim Lenz in the Lenz family. And then they found out what Tim was like and was like, oh, don't send him over there anymore. And our son started partying and we picked him up on Valentine's Day from the police. That was real romantic. And then we found out when I was going on the road, he had a party at our house. People got high in my garage. One guy came up to me and said, the first time I ever smoked pot was with your son, Tim. Tim got caught for that party. You know what he said? But Dad, you'd be proud of me. I gave away 3 of your grace books. Way to go, son. He went to college for a year. Didn't get 1 credit. That takes talent. Hardest choice we had to make, we had to ask him to move out. Unless he got a full-time job or went back to college. My son became a couch surfer, lived out of his car, lived in people's garage, houses. We'd give our kids only $2,000 a year because being in ministry to go to college, but if they didn't pass, get C's, and they owed us money. So now he owed me money. So I worked out a deal with him. I said, I'm not going to pay it off, but if you go to like a short-term Bible school, we'll count that as one of your years. He said, I'd go, that's not fair. I'm like, you're right, you don't even deserve that. He said, well, I'll go to YWAM because it's in Hawaii, but I'm not doing the outreach. I'm not going to go. I'll just go and pay that off. I said, still in the Bible. So he goes, gets knocked off his horse. Holy Spirit touches him. He calls me 2 days later and said, Dad, can I go on the outreach to Brazil? I'm like, no, you were supposed to raise. They had $7,000 he had to raise. You're supposed to do that. He goes, well, if God wants me to go, he'll provide, right, Dad? I'm like, who are you and what do you do with my kid? And I didn't want him, God, to provide. I wanted to teach his lesson. So I didn't support him. But 3 days, all the money came in.
And he went to Brazil, and he shared his testimony. He went for the first time, and I'm like, great. Now you can come home, go back to college, become just a churchgoer. Live by us, get a good job. But no, he said that God called him to go back on staff. So now, he's in his sixth year with YWAM. And he just took a two-year commitment to go to Germany to work with refugees, Muslim refugees. I said, why there, God? I want him to follow you, but not that much. The first day he got there, there was a terrorist threat. I don't want him to serve that much. Come back home. He said, Dad, you see it as a refugee crisis. We see it as a refugee opportunity because less than 2% of all missionaries go to Muslim countries. That's why the desert's so important. Micah, that's why the desert's so important. But you know what? I want to come home, but is it worth it? Is it worth it? He said, Dad, it's not just a ticket to heaven. It's my mission, it's my call, it's my destiny. Each one of us have that. Is it worth it? Look at this picture of Tim now. This is when he just got baptized. Is that worth it? The joy? Listen what it says. You got to count the cost. We got to count the cost of discipleship. But is it worth it? Philippians 3, 7, and 8 says this. But whatever gains to me, I had considered loss for the sake of Christ. Whatever is more, I count it all loss to gain the gospel of knowing Jesus, that others may come to him. I consider it all loss. That's what we're talking about. Is it worth it? Yes. So here we go. On your mark, get set. Go. Yeah, I'm supposed to be done, but let's finish, okay? Go. Here we go. Paul went out. Paul, he traveled in 30 years over 10,000 miles by horseback or by foot. He wrote 14 of the books of the New Testament. That's half of the New Testament. He went, I was just in Rome. My wife and I stood where we think he was buried. I was so amazed. 30 years after he started, still willing to give his life by being beheaded. He was true to his mission. Our beginnings here, before even Christ Rock, Solid Rock Ministries, what? Going to where the people are with what the people need. Where does it come from? 1 Corinthians 9:22 says this, to the weak I've become weak. I've become all things to all. Why? So I might win some. I do this all for the gospel. I am so proud of this church. I am so proud of this church. You know what our vision is here at Christ Rock? Here it is. All people, no matter their condition, will come to know, follow, and worship Jesus. That's our vision. That's what we want. We want to live out 1 Corinthians 9:22, that all people, just last quarter from our church here, just last quarter, we sent out to the mission field on mission trips 150 people. That's 10% of the people that meet here on Sunday morning. How about a round of applause for everybody who was listening to God and said, let's go. People, we had the biggest Mexico trip we ever had. The biggest group that went down during Christmas, during the holidays, went out there. It was just so amazing. And one of the guys that went with to serve realized that his relationship was more just like religion. And he received Christ on the mission trip. How cool is that? Do you know how much going we do locally? Did you know that we go to the nursing homes every week here? Do you know that we still are doing that Thanksgiving meal? Do you know we have a food pantry? Do you know that women are going into strip clubs and work with girls who are trafficked? Did you know that? That's what's happening here, no matter their condition. Did you know that Pastor Joel is on the board of the YMCA here? Pastor Joel, and then he heads up an initiative, a faith initiative for the YMCA to bring the C, the Christian, YMC Christian, to bring the Christian. And on the National Day of Prayer, he helped organize and sponsor a prayer breakfast, had over 100 people and pastors and leaders from the town. How about a round of applause? I'm sorry, Joel, but that's just, you know why? Because you don't just talk about reaching, you're out in the community. They're doing it. When he talked about Willie up in Alaska, I just got to go there. I've been going there. Well, just look at this. Look at a little thing that Willie and I did. We got to make time for this. Look at this. Well, that was the team that was there last year.
Hey, Christ Rock. We're here in Togiak, Alaska. My good friend Bob Lenz. It's a privilege and an honor to be traveling around villages here in Bristol Bay and partnering with him and Life Emotions. spreading hope here in villages that need it, a lot of hope. And I work at Tenalian Bible Camp, if you didn't know that already, and we reach out to over 33 villages, students to come in and hear God's word. And this is a great opportunity to partner with Bob and come with them and travel the villages. One of the keys to ministry out here is networking, and Bob is great at that, and it was a great privilege to be able to come out here with him and get into schools and see campers and just get some face-to-face time with them. So it's a privilege and an honor to be with you guys. I appreciate it.
It's been so awesome, and I think the coolest thing is we've been coming up here so many times now. I've lived here almost 9 months, not as much as you've been here, 2 years now.
2 years,
but yeah. 9 months coming up here, and it's so frustrating just being all by yourself, and now we get to work with the Bible Camp. We get to work with another missionary that you're sending out from Christ the Rock. We get to go into communities, work with the churches, work with the schools, and be in the body together. It's so awesome. So thanks, Christ Rock, for partnering with both of us. And it's fun to partner together and do this for the kingdom of God, to bring hope, to bring life, to bring the gospel. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks.
How about a round of applause for Willie and the people that are going there this summer? We're continuing this work. But can I close? And you're like, yes, please do. But can I close with my favorite story? Penny Reba, a member here. She's my friend. She's actually my insurance agent. But after Bill died, she said the pain for the family was so great, but she said also selfishly, she's like, no. There's more people in my life that he was supposed to help me reach for the gospel. And she said, it's like, now what? I said, but Jesus whispered to her heart and said, it's your turn. It's your turn to step up to the plate. It's your turn to step it up a little bit. And God actually said, I want you to start a Bible study. And she said, did you ever resist the Spirit of God? Did you ever not listen? When Joel said, don't pray about being in working with Sun Harbor. Just go and listen to God. He already said, go. Let's go sign up today. Okay, come on. But that's not how we work. So she's like pushing the Spirit of God away, the voice. But all of a sudden, some friends start coming to this church, Val and Bob Dunham, good friends of theirs. And they came and said, hey, do you belong to a small group? And she's like, no. It's like, why not? Well, my husband didn't go, and I don't want to go by myself. And they said, well, why don't you start one in your house? She said, well, that's what God said. She said, but I don't think my husband would go for it. They said, well, why don't you ask? So she said, you know what? I asked. And he said, yes. He said, yes. He said, Bob. I'm like, really? He said, my husband and I are now leading a Bible study together on Wednesdays, and her sister is coming, and three other groups are coming, and she's doing it. That's what it means to go. That's what it means to get involved. And just 2 weeks ago, her and Gloria Markle, another member here, the Habitat for Humanity came to Little Chute to help do some beautifying to rock the block, and they provided the meals. They went and cooked for it. They're going. That's what it is. That's something to applaud the God of heaven for. That's, come on. That's what it is. That's life changing. That's community changing. That's where it is. But I got to close. But I know people have been gone so much. People have been asking me, Bob, how are you doing? And to be honest, last 2 weeks have been the worst since Bill's been gone. And pain is just so deep. But the Holy Spirit has whispered to me. I don't say that often. He usually speaks just through his word or people. But he spoke to me and said this. The pain will not go away, Bob. But don't let the pain steal the joy that's around you. And don't let it deter you from your mission. We have a mission, church. We gotta go. So you know what? Since January, we did 49 public schools across this country. We're saying we gotta go. This youth needs, did you see what just happened in Texas? We can't stop. We got a mission. So you know what's coming up for me now? Schools are done. So am I done for the summer? No, Life Fest. Right? And so you know what we're going to do? Look at this. We're building a stage. Right? We're going to build a stage. 750,000, let's pray. Yeah. Why? To unite the body of Christ so that the world might know. You know, we got a booth out here. Help us. Be a part. Go grab a, you know, go grab a ticket. Go. You're like, go buy a ticket. I'm a salesman. No, you know what I am? I'm an evangelist. Yeah, go buy a ticket if you don't have one. But you know what we want to do today? We've partnered with the church because you guys send me out from here. And we want to reach out. So you know what? Anyone here? You go back there. You write your name down. And you don't have to put their name, but just the initial of a friend as an evangelist ticket. We'll give you a one-day $35 ticket to go give. You got a graduation you're going to? Give them a one-day ticket. Just go and sign up and we'll give it to you. Why? Don't deter us from our mission. It's time. It's time. And as the worship team comes back, I want you to know this. On your mark, get set. You know, when Jesus said, go into all the world, do you know that didn't mean like, you, go. In the Hebrew way of saying that, the scholar showed me that what it means is, as you go. So where are you going this week? Where are you going this week? Where are you going this week? David, where are you going this week? What do you got? As you go, make disciples. So you know what? We made up a timeline of Paul. This one's not in there, but I called Christina and asked her to make a timeline just for tomorrow. Can I have one more minute to share this? This is her tomorrow. Ready? She has 4 kids. Noah, 8. Logan, 6. Colin, 2. Jaden, 11. Let's pray. 8:30, we'll wake up and we'll have breakfast with the boys and read the Bible and attempt to discuss. At 9:15, we'll get dressed, ready for the day. At 10 o'clock, we'll begin school. Noah and Logan go 2 days a week, and 3 days a week, they school at home, and they try to keep the other kids busy. At 11:30, they clean up around the house while the kids play outside. At 12 o'clock, they have lunch, and then they play. At 1 o'clock, more school and try to have naps with the little kids. Then they clean up, and they do dishes and laundry or whatever is needed. Then at 3 o'clock, they go to the YMCA, and they check into the little boys in the child care, and Noah and Logan go for karate classes, and she goes to try to have a workout. Or if not, they do schoolwork for the rest. Then they get back home at 10 o'clock and they start dinner and the kids play with the neighbors. And then they have dinner. Sometimes daddy comes home, but sometimes he's got to work late. And so then they start to relax. At 7 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, Colin goes to bed at Noah and at 9. Noah and Logan go to bed at 9 o'clock. Whatever needs to be done, dishes, laundry, other cleanup, worship practice, reading. At 10 o'clock, Nick goes, hi, I'm Nick. And they try to connect and they play some games together at the kitchen table. Around 11 to 12 o'clock, it's bedtime. But Jaden still wakes up a few times at night and usually ends up in bed with them. Paul had nothing ongoing compared to Christina. Can I tell Christina and every other mom and dad, uncle, friend, this is going. 4 boys that need to be discipled. This is what matters. This is what's doing it. And then you're willing to take time out of this schedule and do this for us? They're winning the race. Seek, love, disciple. Let's pray. As we sing this last song, take control. It's not my life. You want us to go. Apply it to you right now on your mark. Is it you trying to make a mark? Or is the mark in you, child of the one true King? Get set. Are you in the Word? Are you accountable? Are you in prayer? You're still learning? That's what a disciple is, a loyal learning follower. And then who are you sharing it with? Who are you discipling? And then go. No. As you go to work, as you go to your family, as you go to your neighbors, as you go as a mom, dad, brother, sister, friend, disciple, make disciples. How? Give up control. Like Penny said, it's so cool to see him lead and what he'll do if you just get out of the way. Let's win the race. On your mark, get set.